good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s, on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. The Astrology Hour can be heard weekdays from 12 noon to 1 o'clock. Good day to you, Southern California. Welcome to another edition of Astrological Metaphysical Radio. Today's topic is on the elements, fire, earth, air, and water, as we try to disseminate the difference between the four groupings, why they are so important, and why you are so important, because you are a listener to this radio show. And, yes, I will be taking a brief segue tomorrow. I'm bailing out for a day. Some people will say, well, when Farley leaves town, that means there's going to be an earthquake. Seems like when I leave town, everyone in California freaks out. Truth is that there is an earthquake watch. I can't deny that, because Venus is opposing Saturn and Uranus for the next few weeks. I still don't think Venus is a major planet to trigger quakes like Mars and Jupiter can. So, I'm not worried, but keep your head down. I don't think the Nostradamus quake is going to happen. If anything, we might have a little trembler. I think maybe 5 maximum. If we have anything bigger than that, I'll be surprised. But I'll return Monday. Tomorrow we're going to rebroadcast the show on the 12 Tribes of Astrology, which was one of the more successful shows in the history of the Astrology Hour. So please tune in to hear that rebroadcast in case you missed it. You know, getting astrology down has a lot to do with studying and reading and learning correlations and learning basic meanings. If you want to know what astrology means, if you want to know how to be an astrologer or how to be an astrologically enlightened person, if you're trying like hell or like heaven, right, to rebirth in the spirit and finally get this stuff, then a lot of you might have to attempt some basic memorization. When I think back along the lines as far as how I learned astrology, it was trying to put things together, you know, similarities, understanding what the basic vibration of Aries means, and knowing that Aries is a go-getter sign or a cardinal sign, that it's a fire sign, and knowing that Aries is ruled by the planet Mars, and also that Aries rules the vibration of the first house. You know, you can make like a flow chart off today's show. Just to give you an example, we'll go through all 12 signs for you, and then we'll talk a little more about the elements in depth. But in order to get astrology down, you must know the vibration of each sign and the correlations that adhere to it. And if you memorize this flowchart, then and only then will you be able to say that you are truly an astrologically inclined and enlightened person. So if there are those of you out there that have been struggling, then this is an outstanding basic show to record and understand. So let's start off with this flowchart, okay? The first sign is Aries, which is the first sign in the zodiac. It's like letter A in the alphabet, right? And Aries rules the energy and the power behind all first house activities. So the basic vibration of Aries would be the childhood and the self, the personality, and the basic life force of the being, or where the energy is all funneled into. And Aries is a cardinal sign, which means that it fits in the family of those signs that do something. They don't surround. They are initiators, and they are pioneers. And Aries is a fire sign, which means of the 12 signs of the zodiac, Aries shows much more energy than most, like the other fire signs, more enthusiasm, optimism, and a lot more creativity often as far as dramatics go. And then the planet that rules Aries, like I said, is the planet Mars. So you have that down too. So it's Aries, it's personality, it is cardinal, fire, Mars. First house also. Did you write that down? And then the next sign, the second sign of the zodiac, is Taurus. And the house that Taurus rules is house number 2. We should actually put down first the sign, and then the house, and then whether it's cardinal, fixed, or mutable, and then element, which is fire, earth, air, or water, and then basic meaning next to that, and then planetary lord next to your flowchart. Okay, so the first sign, Aries, would be Aries, house 1, and then cardinal, fire, and the meaning, of course, I said personality, childhood, self, and the planet is Mars. Next sign is Taurus, which rules the second house of values, house number 2, and the vibration of that second house. Well, let's talk about the meaning of what the sign in the house means. Third, let's change this organization. The meaning of the second house and the meaning of Taurus would be love, truth, worth, values, and money. And then Taurus is a fixed sign. Vic signs are rulers. They're domineering people. They're leaders. They're managers. They're in charge. And sometimes more stubborn than the rest. And then a Taurus is earth. That's its element, which is fire is more energy-oriented, and earth is more practical and more rooted to this planet. And then the planet that rules Taurus is Venus. See, like, you can't know astrology unless you know the correlations of each sign. If you sit down and memorize this particular flowchart from today's show, then you'll be able to have it down, and I think it'll make a lot more sense to you. Let's continue here. Gemini is the next sign, which rules the third house vibration, whatever goes on in the third house. And the basic meaning of Gemini and third house vibration is the mind. Psychologically speaking, communication, the media, short trips, brothers and sisters, all those things are included in Gemini in the third house. You know what? I should add one more thing here. The part of the body that is ruled by the sign, too. I forgot that. So go back to Aries, and Aries rules the head. Taurus rules the throat. And Gemini rules the arms and the chest and the hands, too. And the lungs. Now, Gemini is a mutable sign. As we said, Aries is cardinal. Taurus is fixed. Gemini is mutable. And the mutable signs of the zodiac are more open-minded, more flexible, but sometimes not as decisive. So these are sometimes more the vulnerable people, the mutables, whereas the cardinals are running around going berserk and the fixed are running the show. The mutables are kind of like taking direction from both oftentimes. And Gemini is an air sign, which means it's a very communicative mental sign. And then the planet that rules Gemini is Mercury. And I talked to you about the part of the body that rules, the lungs, the arms, and the hands. Isn't this fun? And we're doing a flow chart today, and we're gonna actually study the elements in the second segment. Okay, Cancer. Cancer is the sign that rules the vibration of the fourth house, and the basic significance behind the vibration of Cancer and fourth house activities is security, especially emotional security, and the mother, the residence, the home. And a lot of people also plug Cancer into the past or past lives, not being able to let go sometimes of some of that stuff. See, where Aries is the fire cardinal, Cancer is the water cardinal. So in the fire grouping of the go-getters, Aries is the go-getter fire, and Cancer is the go-getter water. That's why Aries and Cancers get things done, because they're cardinal signs. And that's why if you have Aries or Cancer planets in your chart, you have some cardinal energy there that can also help propel you, too, very much so. So Cancer rules the fourth house, and we give you the basic meaning, and it is also a cardinal sign. It is water. That is element. It is a water sign. And the planet that rules Cancer is the moon, which is also called luminary, L-U-M-I-N-A-R-Y. And the part of the body that Cancer rules is the stomach and the breasts. Although some astrologers differ and say Gemini rules the breasts. A lot of times when I meet Gemini women, it's funny how a lot of women with Gemini moons, Gemini risings, and Gemini suns do seem to be pronounced in that area more than Cancer women. So who knows? It's a close race. Anyway, the next sign in the flow chart here would be Leo. And Leo is the ruler and the vibration of the fifth house in astrology. And the basic meaning behind Leo and the fifth house would be the soul, creativity. Whereas Cancer is the maternal effect of the mother, Leo is the paternal effect or the father. And Leo also rules family and children and creative process inside of us, our creativity. And Leo is the fixed fire. Whereas Taurus is the fixed earth, Leo is the fixed fire. So they command and organize and manage and rule the fire signs and much of the zodiac, actually. And they're stubborn also in that way because of that. And then the planet that rules Leo is the sun. The sun is a luminary also. It rules Leo. And the part of the body that is ruled by Leo is the spine and the heart. That's why Leo people have to watch their cholesterol and fat intake. And then the next sign, the sixth sign of the zodiac, is Virgo. And Virgo rules the sixth house activity and the vibration in the sixth house of everyone's charts, right? And the basic meaning of Virgo and sixth house activities is service and health and analysis and also what we would call details. And the Virgo is a mutable earth. So of Gemini being the mutable air, Virgo is the easygoing of the earth grouping. So that's why they are good worker bees. You will find Virgos that are in charge if they have Leo or Taurus elements in their chart, but typically that's why Virgos are followers so much, because they're a mutable sign. And Virgo is an earth sign. It is the mutable earth. And the planet that rules Virgo is Mercury. Mercury is a dual or a bi-ruler in both Virgo and Gemini. The part of the body that is ruled by Virgo is the entire intestinal tract, everything. The entire intestinal area there, the gut, the lower gut. Isn't this fun? And then Libra is the seventh sign of the zodiac, and it therefore rules the seventh house. And that's why the epitome vibration in everyone's seventh house is a Libra vibration. This is the area we want to look into to understand what Libra means, our relationships. And whereas Taurus may be self-love, Libra, on the other hand, is love with others. And marriage and partnerships and communion, commitment, bonding. And also justice and equality, balance in life. So basic meanings there. Now I want you to know that a planetary lord of a sign will plug into the house and the sign it rules in sharing the same meanings. So, you know, when I say Venus is a bi-ruler, it also rules Taurus and Libra. Venus also epitomizes everything that Taurus and Libra means. And we'll get to that in a second. So Libra is a cardinal sign. Libra is a cardinal air. So of the air signs, Libra is the go-getter or the initiator of the air grouping. Libra is cardinal and it is air, an element. And the planet that rules it, like I said, is Venus. And the part of the body that is ruled by Libra are the kidneys. Yeah! A lot of people believe that is connected to the feet, too. This is the only way you can learn astrology really good, is you got to memorize this flowchart, so I hope you're making one here. I'm not going to send these out. Scorpio is the eighth sign of the zodiac, and it rules the power and vibration in everyone's chart, which is the eighth house. And Scorpio's basic meaning with the eighth house meaning is metamorphosis, transition, transformation, rebirth, and intimate bonding, or sexual bonding. Also, rebirth, transformation, reincarnation, life and death are all ruled by Scorpio vibration. Now, Scorpio is the fixed of the water signs. So, between cardinal, mutable, fixed, and mutable, it is fixed. And it is water. So, Scorpio is the dominant, or the controlling, or the power water sign. Fixed water sign. And the planet that rules Scorpio is Pluto. And the part of the body that is ruled by Scorpio is the reproductive system and genital area. Isn't this great? So, both Pluto and Scorpio control that part. Then there's Sagittarius. And Sagittarius is a fire sign, of course, we'll get to that. But Sagittarius is the energy and vibration behind the ninth house in everyone's charts. And the basic energy behind Sag in the ninth house would be philosophy, freedom, traveler, traveling, foreigners, foreign country, higher education and college, and also fun, optimism in sports, and things like that, and flexibility, open-mindedness. And Sagittarius is the mutable of the fire grouping. See, Leo is the fixed fire, and Aries is the cardinal fire, so Sagittarius is the easygoing of the three. More open-minded, but a little bit more flighty, a little bit more prone to take off if things get too tense. They like from, even if it means claiming independent space. So Sagittarius is the mutable fire. The planet that rules Sagittarius is the planet Jupiter, and the parts of the body that are ruled by that vibration of Sag, Jupiter, and the ninth house are the liver and the hips. Now we're going to continue with Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces in our flow chart. I think this is an excellent show for you beginners out there and a great show for you people into reviewing astrology. Okay, this is KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative, where you can hear the Astrology Hour every single weekday, Monday through Friday at 12 noon there for your enjoyment, while I return to bring you the independently produced by the people Astrology Hour radio program. Okay, where are we? Well, we're located over here by, Capricorn now. That's our next sign. Capricorn being the 10th sign of the zodiac. And you should memorize these signs in order, too. Like the alphabet, you should have down Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, Virgo, Libra, Scorpio, Sag, Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces in order. That would help, too. Capricorn is the sign that rules the 10th house vibration. And the 10th house vibration is a vibration of ethics, practicality, morality, logic, ambition, karma, and career, and also success modes in life. That's why Capricorns are so obsessed with career sometimes. And we do find that of the groupings, Capricorn is the cardinal earth, which means they're the go-getters of the earth signs. They get a lot done, and the earth is their roots, of course, their practicality. And then we find that the planet that rules Capricorn is Saturn, and the part of the body that is ruled by Capricorn, you ready for this? The skin, that's right, that's why those of us that have afflicted Saturns or afflicted Capricorn planets will have much more sensitive skin conditions and skin karma. And it also rules the knees and the bones, so arthritis and rheumatism and sensitive knees come into this grouping. This is a great flow chart for you. And then Aquarius, right, the 11th sign of the zodiac, and also which rules the vibration of the 11th house in everyone's chart, is the sign whose energy rules technology for the sake of humanity and invention and science, astrology, people, humanity, family of man, and genius. And Aquarius also rules friends, organizations, and goals. Okay, so this is important. And Aquarius is the stubborn, controlling, dominant factor of the air signs. They are the fixed air. So fixed of the cardinal fixed immutable grouping. They are fixed air sign. There's the intellect and the communication there. And then, actually, Aquarius's planet is Uranus. And the part of the body that is ruled by Aquarius are the ankles and the circulation. See, so you can have a whole lot of fun finding out what planets you have in your chart and what signs they're in and how they're afflicted and stuff to plug into all these correlations and meanings and parts of the bodies and why you are and the way you are. And the best astrologers, of course, have this memorized. That's how they can read people. And then finally, the 12th sign of the zodiac is Pisces, which rules the vibration of the 12th house. And the basic meaning of Pisces and the 12th house would be the spirit stepping off from this dimension into the next, spirit worlds, the dream world, psychic and intuitive self, and also enemies are unknown factors that are not readily visible that could affect you in life. Sensitivity, romance, vulnerability, and emotions are also affected by Piscean aspects. Unknown quantities. And healing also is affected by Pisces. And then of the water grouping, Pisces is the mutable water, or the more open-minded, sometimes extremely indecisive of the groupings. You guys, Pisces moons out there. And so that is the energy that rules Pisces in the 12th house. It is mutable water is the element. All right? And the planet that rules Pisces is mysterious Neptune. And the part of the body that is ruled by Pisces is obviously what's left, the feet. That's why Pisces have sensitive feet sometimes. All right, so there's your flow chart. Now, just to talk about the elements here also, you see, it is important to notice there is a cardinal fire, a cardinal air, and a cardinal earth, and a cardinal water. Then there's a fixed fire, a fixed air, a fixed earth, and a fixed water. Then there's a mutable air, mutable fire, mutable air, mutable earth, and mutable water. So we get one of each, cardinal, fixed, and mutable, in each of the four families of elements, fire, earth, air, and water. Typically, once you get down your cardinal, fixed, and mutable, I want you to know that to understand compatibility in astrology, basically, the elements get along with each other, with their same elements. Which means, to understand compatibility, understand that the fire signs relate, and they flow well. So hence, the Leo-Aries-Sag triangle is free-flowing and very compatible. And the Earth triangle of energy, Taurus, Virgo, and Capricorn, also is free-flowing and very compatible. So any combination of planets between planets in your chart, like if you have fire complements, like I have Leo and Sag, well, that's a part of yourself that is compatible, or at ease, or in comfort, free-flowing. Or if you're in compatibility with somebody else and they have fire complements, there's also free-flowing. See how it works? So, you know, we find the fire and the Earth flow with each other. The air signs of Aquarius, Gemini, and Libra, they also flow in their energy triangle very well. Then the water signs also flow, Cancer, Scorpio, and Pisces. Aha! But the purpose of today's show is to tell you which energies don't flow normally. And now that I've taught you about the cardinal air, the cardinal earth, cardinal fire, cardinal water, right, and the fixed air, fixed earth, fixed fire, fixed mutable air, mutable earth, mutable fire, mutable water, the cardinals do not get along with each other. And I'm not talking about the St. Louis Cardinals. I am talking about the cardinal fire, which is Aries, the cardinal earth, which is Capricorn, the cardinal air, which is Libra, and the cardinal water, which is Cancer, are at stress with each other. There is many times a karma identification. Whenever we find we get cardinals that are in either the same chart or comparative chart, and cardinals in their family, right, in comparison, will many times earn those famous squares and oppositions we talk about, whereas element comparisons like fire, earth, air, and water, will typically trine each other in that aspect, which is a free-flowing vibration, the cardinals will square and oppose each other. And once in a while, oppositions will work, but I find you got to still be careful depending what the two planets are involved in that opposition. Same with the fixed. Fixed don't make it either, right? The fixed fire Leo, the fixed earth Taurus, fixed water Scorpio, and the fixed air Aquarius also will square and oppose each other, so we'll find also blockages and karma and stress with this combination. See how it works? This flowchart here is so important to understand the basic energies of astrological fluidity and astrological blockages. So, fixed don't make it. And then the mutables together don't make it either. They stress each other. The mutable for water, Pisces. The mutable for air, which is Gemini. The mutable for earth, which is Virgo. And the mutable fire, which is Sagittarius. They also square and oppose each other. So, you know, to understand how astrology works, know that elements flow, and then cardinal families within their same grouping stress. Fixed families within their grouping stress, and mutable families within their grouping stress. And that's how really astrology works. That's a major basic in this chart, in today's show that I called The Elements, but you could really title this show Flowchart. And, of course, I stumbled around at the beginning, but I needed to get more connected with my guide to find out exactly what we were going to talk about today. I thought it was just The Elements, but no. Now let's go to our phones and talk to our wonderful callers and people that have been patient enough to hang in there. So God bless you for doing that. Let's go to Jasmine on line number one, the Aries with Gemini rising. Hi.
Hi.
Was that too much information, all that chart stuff?
It was a little mind-blowing, but I've dealt with a little bit of astrology before, so
see why
I can see the similarities.
You should record the show, right?
Yeah, I should have.
You get so much information off of some of these shows, it's like buying an astrology book.
It's true.
People sit there and they get shocked. They're like, what's he going to talk about today? Oh, no, he's doing a flow chart. Here I am in traffic. You know?
It's true.
So what can I do for you?
Okay, well, that's a good question. I'm really kind of caught up right now in determining my career. I thought I had it all figured out, what I wanted to do, and what direction I wanted to take. And now it seems a lot more complex than I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you're not just caught up in your career. You're going through a pivotal time in your life, not only this year, but like the last 5 or 6 years. Looks like you've been caught in a major roller coaster of romance and finance and friendships and goals being shattered and changed and directions and residents being uprooted. The career is like the result of some of the symptoms, you know, that you've been going through. It's like, mother may I, you know. See, you have the chart of a healer. You have the chart of someone that might be classified as a New Age herald. But because you have Jupiter and Saturn in Capricorn, you might think that you are supposed to be doing something more acceptable by society. And one of the reasons why you might be having problems is that your soul's urge is to do something compassionate and enlightening for society.
Right.
But you have this dream to probably make millions and conquer the world, which might not be far away from some of your potential, but because you are having a Saturn return, you're going to have to pay your dues up until you're 30 years old before things really start kicking in.
Oh, boy. Right. Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, let's go to Joan now, the Virgo with Pisces rising. Hello, Joan.
Hi, how are you? I enjoyed your program immensely today. I wrote down everything as much as I could.
It was a little scattered, but...
A little scattered, but I've got most of
it. I think people get insecure, and I think if they learn this flow chart, it'll all make a lot more sense. If knowing this flowchart helped me when I started out.
Yeah, it's starting to come into focus.
Okay.
Okay, I have no air. I think I have one air in my chart. What does that do with the double Pisces? You know, I have the rising Pisces, the moon and Pisces.
Well, this is a good question. See, I have no earth. And a lot of times, when you're void of an element like that, then that means that that's an area that you usually excel in. You like, because air rules the mind and communication and expression and teaching and all those thought processes, this is something that's always been probably just beyond your grasp in some area that you would really like to excel in. You'd like to be able to project yourself more, and communication is always an issue and very important. And like, I have no earth, so a lot of times when I was growing up and getting older, people thought I was lazy because I wasn't as physical as everybody was. Like, earths are so mechanical and dexterous in their abilities, but I work my butt off in my mind because I have so much air and fire and water. My career is an intuitive career that is done with mental thinking, whereas I'm not as much a mechanic with my hands because I lack the earth. I do excel in areas of thinking. So, you know, we can really discover character and identity through analysis of the elements and also by scoring our charts to see what we're heaviest in, see if we're all balanced in all areas, see what we're lacking, or see what we're overdosed in. Like, I have a lot of fire, hence my gregariousness and major enthusiasm.
And I have a lot of water.
And that's why you're so sensitive and vulnerable and intuitive and romantic and all those things that the water epitomizes.
What do you see in the near future with that stuff?
Well, you should probably be a psychic with a chart like this.
I'm a psychic. The telephone rings and I know who it is before I answer it some of the time.
Your relationships appear to be on the uphill climb. Something happening there?
All the old people are coming back into my life. What is that? And no new ones, just old ones.
Well, it's better than being lonely, you know. Sometimes you don't know when you have it good, I guess. But, you know, you are a woman who is constantly on a search for self-realization and identity, and you probably learned a lot about yourself last year.
Oh, yeah.
And you're on a major spiritual path right now, very important path for many years, and you're going to have lots of growth. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Let's go to Claudette now, the Aquarius with Aries rising. Hi.
Howdy.
Howdy. Where are you from?
What?
Where you come from, girl?
I'm from Los Angeles, California.
I thought you were going to say Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
No.
Okay.
So I think you're great.
You do?
Yes.
Oh, Leos need that once in a while. I get a major chill from the tip of my toes to the top of my head.
Coming from an Aquarian, right?
Yeah. Well, you're my polar opposite.
Yeah, exactly. Weren't you married to an Aryan?
No, I was married to a Cancer who was born on Bastille Day, July 14th.
So she was conjunct your Venus, huh?
Well, her sun was conjunct my Venus. The problem was I didn't know about astrology, and she had Mars in Virgo with three T-squares on it.
Wow.
And no trines or sextiles, so she was doomed to shatter someone and vice versa in relationships.
Yeah.
So it was it propelled me into astrology, you know. I looked at her chart and I went, oh, next time I won't marry somebody like this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Good help.
I wanted to ask you about the Sabian thing on your ascendant.
Now, you want to know what 23 Aries means?
Yeah, and what is exactly the idea, briefly, if you have a moment, behind the Sabian symbols? Is it mythological?
No, the information that we have here on the degrees of the zodiac is information that was delivered from the other side, mm-hmm. and has a lot to do with the soul essence vibration, or the I am factor, what you call your part in the God force in the third dimension. And the 23rd degree of Aries is an expectation of labors, a powerful desire to see results from a unified effort, an impatient longing for continual enlightenment.
Yeah, so true.
Okay, thank you, hon.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
A nice lady. Let's go to Helen, a Sag Libra rising. Hi, Helen.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Hi, Farley. How are you doing?
Good. What can we do for you?
Oh, I just want to know about my 29 Libra rising.
Okay, there's one I haven't done yet. So I think most of the Libra degrees are pretty advanced because Libra rules justice and freedom. So I find many people with Libra rising are like heralds or leaders or people that are like judges, you know, and so I think to earn a Libra rising, you have to do something good in a past life. The 29th degree of Libra is an inner vision, a psychic attunement to universal laws, a desire to give of this awareness to other people. Thank you, hon.
Oh, Farley.
Yeah?
Everybody loves you.
Thank you, dear.
So good.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
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 What a sweetie pie. Okay, let's go to Jean now, June 20th, 48, Cancer rising. Hi, Jean.
Hi, how you doing, Farley?
Real good.
All right. Would you tell me about the Sabian symbol for my 17-degree, 6-minute Cancer?
Of course, I'd love to take a look at that. And that's 17 Cancer, that's one I haven't looked at yet.
Oh, great.
It's funny how we're almost covering every symbol here in the last few weeks. Okay, Cancer, that's a little different than Libra, for example, because sometimes Cancer wavers back and forth from the emotional to the material.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a water-earth type flow. The 17th degree of Cancer is very interesting. It is a realization for the need for a cessation of the up-and-down or roller coaster syndrome and a molding of a personality pattern of spiritual overtones, a sincere effort to inner instincts to comfort this roller coaster cycle. Okay?
Well, okay.
So see, like 17 Cancer can be very moody and very emotional, and the highest vibration to 17 Cancer is to overcome this essence, this up-and-down cycle, and to calm oneself with the spirit.
Okay.
Does that sound like you?
Yeah, I have a lot of the up-and-down part. I try and keep as much control over it as I can, and so I've sort of gotten the reputation for mellow after a while, but it's definitely a conscious effort.
Yeah, it's like the binge and purge syndrome, isn't it?
I like it.
Okay, Gene.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. Back to the future. Let's go to the phones now and talk to Raylene, a Libra. Hello, Raylene.
Hello, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
Oh, good.
How'd you find out about the show from a friend?
No, I just scanning the dial. I've been listening for 2 or 3 months now.
And you thought, everybody's popped out astrology, but I better listen to this and see what they're talking about here.
Right.
So
I have one of your little bugaboo questions. I'd like a general scan.
Well, you appear to be one of these fanatics on balance and having things together in your life.
Absolutely.
We're talking about you probably got a real clean house all the time. Anything. Well, I think in relationships more than anything else.
Yes.
You really do expect perfection and communication and intelligence. You might get a little upset things don't come across the way you want them to.
Right.
And you're a very hard worker if you like what you're doing.
I do.
Now, you are shown being a psychologist-type person. Are you a therapist?
No, I'm a nurse.
Well, then you kind of act like a therapist probably sometimes.
You do.
You probably get paid more for being a therapist than a nurse. But you are showing an interesting period just recently. Did something wonderful happen to you? Did you meet somebody or make some extra money?
We got a tremendous pay raise at the hospital where I work.
Very good, very good. Maybe that was from the strike, huh? No?
I don't work at the county.
Okay. But, you know, your relationships now, you are shown attracting plenty of people. It's just a matter of, you know, commitment, I think, seems to be the problem, though.
Oh, I've been married for 25 years.
Oh, really? God, that's great. Now, that, see, that right there is wonderful. You do have a Mars trine Uranus in your chart, which can show a marriage. It's the Saturn square Neptune that probably makes that marriage very challenging and exciting.
It is.
And never boring or always different, as you say.
That's right.
Especially emotionally. Fantastic. I'm glad you called. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
See, whenever a woman, even though they have the Libra stress, if they have trines in their Mars, gosh, so many of them are married. Isn't that amazing? See, a man with trines on his Venus, he's married. A woman with trines in her Mars, they're married. So that's the proof in astrology right from there. Let's go to Libby, Libby, Libby on the label. Sag rising double Sag. Hi, Libby.
Hi.
I'm sorry I sang that song. But
that's okay.
You probably heard it once or twice.
Yeah, I have. I'd like to know about the Sabian symbol for 1 degree Pisces, the first degree.
Who's that?
Me.
Oh, you're Pisces rising?
No, well, no, it's my moon sign. But
oh.
I'd like to know anyway.
All right, yeah, okay. The first degree of Pisces, or Pisces 1, is a very powerful degree, one of the more powerfuls of the whole zodiac. An activation of the centers of psychic awareness, a challenge to the initiative, a calling upon natural resources in relation to resourcefulness. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Terry now, Feb 21st, 56. Hi, Terry. Are you there, Terry? No, Terry. Okay, let's go to Bernie now, May 20. Oh, that, no, wait a second. I cut somebody off, Marilyn. Terry, you're there now, right?
Yeah.
See, I'm totally confused. Bernie, call back. I'll take you next. I cut Bernie off, Marilyn. I'm sorry. So what can we do for you, Terry?
I was just wondering. I'm in a process of trying to make a career change, and I'm having some problems making up my mind what I want to do and how to go about it.
Hmm. Well, you know, you overall could be shown a little crisis here financially for quite a while here.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been with a lot of bills lately?
Just in the past month, but nothing that's really... Mm-hmm.
Do you have a cushion left or any kind of...
Good,
because you will need some savings coming up here. It's real hard to say what's going on with your career because I don't have your rising sign, but I do know that you are someone that should probably be in control. Even though you're Pisces, you have Jupiter in Leo and Mercury in Aquarius, so you are shown this management ability and this ability to lead people or be self-sufficient, be more in your own business, and you also need to have fun in your career. You need a few laughs here and there. Otherwise, things can get too depressing for you.
Mm-hmm.
You are very philosophical, you know, and you are shown being almost charismatic for many male figures, for men, so possibly your career should involve dealing with men, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
And when you send for your rising sign, call me back and I'll try to be more specific, okay?
Okay, great.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, bye.
Sorry, Bernie, I freaked out there.
That's okay.
Once in a while, I blow people off the air.
Well, I've done it myself.
Okay, we got you back. Thank you for calling.
You bet. I'm just calling in for the general overview, Farley.
Is this a test?
Yeah.
Is it really?
A test?
I would think that you are one psychological person. Not only are you a Gemini, but you have Venus in Gemini, which is a heavy Gemini factor. And then Jupiter in Virgo is almost detective-like. And it's like a troubleshooter, a deep thinker, an analyzer, and with Mars and Cancer, you have a lot of vulnerability too. You're sensitive on top of all that too.
Right.
Then Mercury in Taurus, you might try to figure out money deals or money schemes or think about money or money management or banking or real estate or investment.
Uh-huh.
And overall, your fantasies do run deep.
Mm-hmm.
You are shown heavy karma involvement with family members and children.
Uh-huh.
And your major lesson in life, your basic learning condition in life, is just to learn and discover what makes you happy and embrace it when you find it. Hang on to it.
Right on.
Does that sound like you?
Yeah.
Okay, Bern, send for your chart.
All right, well.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Matthew on line number 3, Aquarius Libra Rising. Yo, Matt.
Hi there.
Hey, guy.
I'm not entirely sure that the Libra Rising is actually it. Is the moon sign and rising the same?
No, they're different.
I see. Then it's probably not Libra.
Well, I know your moon is Libra, yes.
Really? Yeah.
But you're, what time were you born?
10:32.
In the evening?
Yes.
So that would you may be Libra rising too. That's close.
Ah.
Are you a real talkative guy? You like to teach and get up in front of groups and stuff?
No.
Okay, maybe you're not then. You'll find out when you send away.
Okay. I have all the information in front of me, and I have the check made out and everything.
Thanks, Matthew.
Certainly.
Isn't it funny? Your initials are M-E, you know, and
me.
That's me. I like that. If you're talking about me, I'm me. Okay. No, you're not me. I'm me. Okay. So what can we do for you, guy?
Well, I feel like something wonderful is on the horizon, but I don't know what it is, so I'd just like a general scan, if possible.
It's like 2010. Something wonderful is about to happen.
Wonderful.
Yeah. You are quite a magician here. Looks like you've bailed out of some pretty hairy situations here, gotten a little lucky, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And, you know, that luck can go to your benefit. You definitely have an extra sense, which gives you an idea of what's about to happen sometimes before. It's from having Venus in the sign of Pisces. As an Aquarius, we would label you more of an intuitive Aquarius, and Mercury in Aquarius would allow you to excel in those areas that you enjoy. So you might have gotten good grades in classes where you like the teachers and enjoy the subjects. You might have rebelled in other classes, you know. And overall, I think you are a spiritualist and a healer and someone that may be classified as a New Age herald or a teacher, possible astrologer, and you're being opened up dramatically by the Capricorn transits the next 4 to 8 years. Okay?
All right.
Good luck, guy.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, there's another edition of Astrological Metaphysical Radio in the can. See you real soon. We're on the Fox at 12 noon. Goodbye, everybody.